Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Just a massive college football Saturday in these parts. One like we have not seen really ever, frankly, because Pitt hasn't been undefeated this late into a season since the early 1980s. And we're talking about it right now with former Florida State quarterback, NFLer as well, a guy who is very busy, whose introduction here needs plenty of time because he's on Dusty and Danny in the Morning on the radio. He's doing the Cover 3 pod on the podcast side of things. And on TV, CBS Sports HQ, he is joining us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference Heisman, and college football Week 10 lines. He is Danny Cannell. Danny, Chris Muller here in Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I am fantastic, Chris. Thanks for having me on. You intro me there. I don't know if you probably, there's no way you would know this, but I am actually almost a Pittsburgher. My parents grew up in Pittsburgh.
Really?
And, they went to South Hills High School, which I guess is no longer. I think the school was like shut down maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but it was there for a long time. And in fact, my parents moved to Florida probably, in the 70s, so before I was born. Like right before I was born, my dad had just finished medical school because he went to Pitt and went to Pitt for medical school as well.
Wow.
They moved to South Florida for some better weather. But when I was in high school and I started playing high school football, my dad almost sent me up to Pittsburgh to go to high school up there at Mount Lebanon High School to be a part of their football program. My mom stepped in, though, and said, no, not so fast. He's staying here. But, I mean, my dad has one of his best friends lived up there for a long time. I was going to live with him. So I always appreciate being on with Pittsburgh people.
Well, I can tell you what, as somebody that was following those, like, 95, 96 Pitt teams, they could have used you, although I don't know if it would have been something you would have wanted to be a part of given the way that they were performing. Different times, though, now for this Pitt team. And I teased this, Danny, before you came on here, by saying that I had looked through your Twitter feed and had seen a tweet that would make both Pitt and Penn State fans very happy. You put up your top 10 teams in college football right now a couple of days ago, and it is your no big brand bias list. I was shocked in a good way. You've got Pitt as the 8th-ranked team in your top 10, and then you've got Penn State number 2. I'm more interested in Pitt right now. We're the Pitt flagship. What has you so bullish on the Panthers?
Well, so one thing I want to make clear, too, is it's not a predictive poll, and it's kind of
confusing. It's a right now. It's a prisoner of the moment poll. I like that.
Absolutely. And it's where do you deserve to be ranked right now? We get so caught up, and people want to look up ahead and say who the power rankings are and, well, who would be favored. And sure, if Pitt was against, Oregon, they'd probably be an underdog. But, like, why don't we reward them for what they've done to this point? They've been underdogs at other times this season, and they've won some of those games as underdogs. Like, I think what Pitt has done has been unbelievable. By the way, no one's surprised Penn State is too. That's not really out on a limb because they do have a big brand recently. They've got that huge success. So that's not surprising at all. But for Pitt, that's the one that is surprising for them to be up there. But I want to give them credit. We're 8 games in the season. It's not like we're talking about 4 games in the season and, you beat a couple nobodies. They're starting to beat ACC opponents. They're starting to beat teams that, have winning records. They're starting to, and not only are they starting to win those games, they're starting to dominate those games like they did against Syracuse as a team that's good on both sides of the ball that, is a really well-balanced team. I think it's time people start to give them the recognition they deserve. And what's crazy is that the AP still doesn't do it. Like, and I'll be very curious to see if the College Football Committee would put them up there and give them some more respect in the AP Top 25. Because we're talking about, only a month left in the season. They need to be given more respect for some of the games they've won.
Well, given what our friends over at BetOnline have right now, SMU minus 7.5, they are still among the people who set these lines, the very smart people, not getting that respect. I wanted to ask you about the quarterbacks in this game. Eli Holstein, Kevin Jennings, both of whom were a little dinged up. Kevin Jennings coming off a 5-turnover game where SMU escaped against Duke. Who do you feel is the quarterback edge in this one?
So, you're going to think this is a cop-out, Chris, and I hate to do this, because they're both perfect for their systems. You know, like, I think they're really evenly matched. I think Eli Holstein has been more consistent, especially in the statistical category, but he's thrown some interceptable passes as well, you know, that haven't been intercepted, but maybe a little bit, he can get a little bit careless with the football. But I still love what he's doing in Cade Bell's system, who they brought in from Western Carolina. And the numbers have come back to down to earth a little bit when the, you know, to start the season, they were a top five offense in the country when they were playing some weaker opponents and they've been held in check. But the thing I love about the team is that the defense has been able to pick them up when the offense has struggled. So they're way more balanced than they've been maybe at any other time since when they won the ACC title with Kenny Pickett at the helm. On the flip side, Kevin Jennings, he's a quarterback who didn't even start the season for SMU. It was supposed to be Preston Stone, who was a returning starter, a guy who played all game, you know, all 12 games last year for them. And then this year they made the switch to Kevin Jennings, and he's a more mobile quarterback. I mean, that's sort of the, you know, that's why I think he fits better, because that's what Rhett Lashley, their coach, has him doing more, is utilizing his legs, his athleticism. He's more of somebody who will run around and make plays with his legs. Where Eli Holstein, you guys know this, haven't watched him play, a little bit more from the pocket, and he's going to sort of pick you apart by making the right reads and making the right decisions from within the pocket.
Danny, if they win this game, Pitt does, what kind of chance do you give them to actually get to that 12-team college football playoff with Clemson still looming and then presumably an ACC title game appearance?
So I think they have an outstanding chance, but the problem is where does the committee put them? You know, like, where did they respect them? I will pound the table for them, you know, as a potentially one loss. If they're undefeated, it's taken care of itself. Like, they're in, even if they lose the ACC championship game. I do worry about them against Clemson. I'm very, very high on Clemson as well. They've gotten better every single week since they did lose to Georgia, you know, 34-3, and that game was ugly, but they've been getting better and better. So, like, for Pitt, I think what matters is, A, you have to take care of business this weekend. This is a huge game, top 25 opponent. You know, they're an underdog, you know, that people don't think, they don't give them much of a chance. You know, they're under, you know, it's over a touchdown. But if they win this game, then I think what you have to take into consideration is, how do they look against Clemson? And
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The thing that bothers me, again, it probably shouldn't, because it will matter what the score is in that game. Like, if they lose in a tight game by a field goal, then I think they're good. Like, I think they'll show that they can play, and they can play with anybody in the country. But if they lose by three touchdowns, then all of a sudden I think that could hurt their chances, and that's something the committee would use to try to keep them out there when they're already, you know, fighting an uphill battle of, what are your signature wins? Where have they been? Well, they will have beaten SMU, assuming that they win this game this weekend, and then they would have gone toe-to-toe with Clemson. Then it's a really strong case. So it all comes down, like, and I'm sure that's what Coach Narduzzi is telling his team, is, we can't get caught up in the rankings. We can't get caught up in with the playoffs. We have to make sure we take it one week at a time, and that's what I expect them to do this weekend.
We're talking to former Florida State and NFL quarterback Danny Cannell right now, college football analyst. A huge weekend, a huge Saturday tomorrow in Southwest Pennsylvania as far as college football games. I'll flip over to the other one, Danny, and before I do, I am a bizarre Benedict Arnold here. I'm a Penn State graduate who has never rooted a day in his life for Penn State. I've always been a Pitt fan. I love those Nebraska Tommy Frazier teams in the mid-90s, so I am a bizarro world person. So when I say I'm a Penn State grad, no dog in this fight whatsoever. You've got, I think, a couple of quick hitters here. Penn State, 3.5-point home underdogs. They wanted this game under the lights. It'll be at noon. Just quickly here, a couple kind of either-ors. Which quarterback's under more pressure to perform in this game, do you think? Will Howard at Ohio State or Drew Aller?
I think it's Will Howard because of his supporting cast. You know, this is a $20 million roster that everyone's talking about, and, you know, he's played really well in the system. And I think he didn't really help himself. I'm sure you played back the sound of him talking about growing up in the state, being a huge Penn State fan.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to go there. Like, he kind of – he actually inadvertently, I think he put some more pressure on himself. Clearly he welcomes it and he wants to go out and prove them wrong. But I think that's more pressure on himself by doing that. So if he falters, every Penn State fan is going to be, like, you know, taunting and saying, see, that's why we didn't take you. I'm glad we had Drew Aller. And Drew Aller, there's clearly pressure on both of these quarterbacks. But you have to remember, too, Drew Aller hasn't lost yet. He was banged up last week. So he's kind of, I hate, you know, saying there's a built-in excuse because I don't think he'll make it. But he was banged up last week. But he also has, if he does lose this game, Penn State's in a really good position to make the playoffs because they have favorable games where they should be able to win out. And then all of a sudden, Penn State is sitting there, and there's not quite as much pressure on him. Even though it's at home and they're the higher-ranked team, I just feel like there's more pressure on Will Howard because of the surroundings, because of what he's already laid out there. And a second loss to Ohio State could be really damaging to their playoff hopes.
Same kind of question. Which coach under more pressure, the guy at the head of the $20 million roster, Ryan Day, or the guy who, and this, we hear from Penn State fans a lot, they're in a weird purgatory. James Franklin's built up the roster to where they feel like they should contend against the big boys like Ohio State, and yet he can't seem to beat teams that are ahead of him in the rankings or that he's supposed, you know, maybe not supposed to beat all the time. Which of those two coaches under more intense scrutiny here, Danny?
So, again, I think it's very similar because it would be a second loss for Ohio State. I'll put it slightly on Ryan Day. But both of them, man, they've got sort of – it's totally different different criticisms of them from their fan bases. Like, Ohio State's upset because they haven't won the national championship and they've been there, you know, with Urban Meyer, was just there for a national title before he took over. But James Franklin, he's elevated this program where they are a perennial contender. But like you mentioned, they've come up just short. So if, and even if they do lose, it's their first loss. And then every Penn State offense that I've talked to has been like, well, this is the year we make the playoffs. That feels like it's the goal, which is still very, very obtainable. And I still think they'll get there. And then you can kind of make up for it. You could say, well, we got to the playoffs. You can win a game or two there. Shoot, you might even get a home playoff game if you lose this game. So like, I still feel like you, if you're Penn State, you can still achieve your goals. Whereas Ohio State, there was an expectation this team was close to perfect. And so now they're starting, if that was a second loss, boy, there'd be a lot more pressure, I think, on Ryan Day. Either way, neither of the coaches are going to be feeling great, and the fan bases aren't going to feel great, whoever's on the losing side.
Danny, last one for you, and we really appreciate you joining us here. You've played in your share, of course, of huge games in kind of cauldrons and road stadiums. How much does this hurt Penn State that this game is going to be at noon and not under the lights with a crazy crowd that's in a whiteout at 7:30?
I hate it. Like, I would prefer a night game. You know, if you put a point amount on it, I don't know if it's hard to quantify in a point, but it really does make life a lot more miserable to communicate at the line of scrimmage for the opponent if you can't hear anything. Now, they'll be loud, right? I mean, it's not like Penn State is going to be about their golf clapping. They're going to be wild and crazy. But there is a reality of what fans are doing leading up to a primetime kickoff at 8:00. Like, they're out tailgating, they're out getting
lubricated. Yeah, very yes, lubricated.
Exactly.
I've been there for those games. They are very, very lubricated come 7:30.
Exactly. So there is a reality to that it is a little bit more ruckus, a little bit more hostile. But I still think it'll be a really tough road environment for Ohio State to play in. And I think that's James Franklin's message to his fan base has been, hey, start earlier, you know, get there earlier, get there and tailgate earlier, which for the students is probably the hardest. Some of the fans that are a little bit older, they might show up earlier. The students are always the ones that are challenging to get there that early, and they're the ones that are probably sleeping in the latest, too. So that one's always the bigger challenge, is to get the students going riled up and crazy. But I still think it'll be a pretty significant home field advantage for the Nittany Lions.
College football analyst Danny Cannell, again, joining us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 10 lines. Danny, appreciate it. Really enjoyed the talk. Enjoy the games this weekend, man.
Thanks so much, Chris. Really appreciate it. You have a great weekend.
Danny Cannell, he likes this Pitt team, man. Like, let's go. How about a little respect? I like no big brand bias there. I like that. Ranking them eighth right now. I like prisoner of the moment rankings. All right. It's an open phone Friday coming up next in 2 minutes. 412-928-9370. We don't have a Steelers game this weekend to talk about. We got two huge college football games. We got a Penguins team that finally snapped a losing streak. Whatever you got on your mind, 412-928-9370. Let it fly next. Open phone Friday, 412-928-9370. Also, follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. First, fan headline.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.